and go with me to the story of the 10 lepers who were healed by the Lord in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. And Brother Jonathan has been in the back, is going to go through the pictures as best as he can. I didn't mark down when he should change the picture this morning, so he'll do his best, and I'm sure it'll be fine. Give the kids something to look at. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this Bible story. It's a true story. It really happened. And we thank you for recording it for us. And Father, help us, Lord, to learn to be thankful like this Samaritan man was. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we look at this story, that you would help us understand several important reasons for being thankful this morning. Bless each one, I pray. Help us to understand the message now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at 8 reasons we ought to be thankful to God. 8 reasons we ought to be thankful to God. Thankfulness is one of those things that is very lacking today in our society. Very, very much so. And of course, as Christians, it should not be lacking in us. But sadly, a lot of Christians, and thankfulness is lacking, and especially in young people. The younger generation has to learn to be thankful. And so that I want to try to teach you young people to be thankful this morning. Thankfulness, it's the same meaning as gratefulness, okay? So if I say thankfulness and then I say gratefulness, it means the same thing. It means to be thankful, all right? 8 reasons we ought to be thankful to God. Look at verses 11 and 12 again, please. 11 and 12. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. As he entered into a certain village. So Jesus had been walking and journeying probably all day long. It's probably, and the Bible doesn't tell this for sure. It could have been that they just came upon this village mid-morning. But usually, they would enter into a village when they were getting ready to find a inn for the night or to stop for the evening, or some such thing. So this very well could have been after most of the day was over, and they're starting to look for a place to buy some bread for the evening meal, or some such thing. But likely this was after quite a while of journeying that day, okay? Maybe it was at the very end of the day, maybe it was 3 o'clock, maybe it was mid-morning, we don't know. But it was after Jesus had been journeying for some time. So in other words, Jesus was tired. Jesus was tired. He was ready probably to take a break, to sit down and maybe get a cool drink of water from the well there in the town. He was tired. He was ready for a break. And as he entered into a certain village, these lepers didn't give him a chance to take that break. The point this morning is our requests for our needs are never ending. Our requests for our needs are never ending. And yet the Lord Jesus still listens to every prayer we have. This day, when he was going into this village of Samaria, he could have said, "You guys, you just wait and let me have a break. Wait till I get a drink of water, at least. Don't bother me right now. I'm tired. I'd like to sit down for a second." you guys can just hang on for a few minutes. But he didn't say that, did he? The lepers were insistent, and they wanted their need to be met now, right now. And of course, when we pray, we wish and we hope that our requests are answered speedily, right? We want our requests to be heard and answered by the Lord. And our requests for our needs are never ending. As soon as the Lord answers one request, well, we have another one ready to replace it with. But the Lord always listens to every request we have. That's a good reason to be thankful to the Lord. He doesn't say, well, what are you bothering me again for? I just answered one prayer of yours. I just did. Isn't that good enough for you know, 2 hours at least? You hear your back on heaven's door beating my door down again 5 minutes later. No, he doesn't say that. He listens to every single request. He's a loving and caring God. He cares for every need we have, and praise the Lord for that, because our needs are never ending. So as he entered into a certain village, the lepers saw him and were importunate. That's a fancy word. It means they weren't going to give up as they cried to him for help. Jesus, have mercy on us. It's like the blind Bartimaeus. He was importunate when he cried to Jesus when Jesus came through Jericho. Master, have mercy on me. And the people said, be quiet, be quiet. And Bartimaeus would not be quiet. That's being importunate in your request to the Lord. Okay? So number one, first reason we ought to be thankful to God is because our requests for our needs are never ending and He hears every one. Number two, look at verse 12 again. Verse 12 again. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Which stood afar off. These lepers knew all about their leprosy. They were ashamed of it. They were embarrassed about it. They were sick about it. They were sickly, of course. But they were heartbroken that they had this disease, and they didn't want other people to have it. They knew they were not worthy to come right up to Jesus and shake his hand and say, Lord, I have a need. Would you please help me with this disease? No, they knew they were not worthy of God's blessings, these lepers. They stood afar off and kept their distance from the Lord. Leprosy, young people, leprosy pictures the awfulness of our sins. The awfulness of our sins. Leprosy is a terrible disease. And there are different types of leprosy. And but the worst types are your fingers and your body parts. Even your whole hand could eventually rot off your body. Your skin is literally rotting on your body. And you get holes in your skin, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the nose can fall off and rot away. Your fingers can rot off and fall away. It's a terrible, ugly, horrible disease. And so these lepers, we don't know how bad their diseases were, how prolonged they had been lepers, but probably some of these fellows didn't look very good. They were probably missing a piece of the nose, or missing an ear, or a finger, or a part of a finger. They were not what you would want to invite to your dinner table. Okay, they knew they were not worthy of God's blessings. Leprosy is a picture of our terrible sins. Our sins are awful before God. Our sins are exceedingly sinful, you see, to God. And sometimes we don't think about our sins being really wicked. But think about when you have those thoughts, well, that wasn't that bad. I told a little white lie to mommy, and that wasn't that bad. When you have those kinds of thoughts, consider your sin, that sin, as bad as leprosy is, that would cause your nose to fall off. and rot off. That's the picture God has for us in His Word about how bad even our little sins, so-called little sins, are. They're terrible. They're horrible. And we, as fallen, sinful men and women and children here this morning, we are far below the great and awesome position of God. The Bible says we have come short of the glory of God. We are far below God's position. And young people, do you realize that God does not owe you a single thing? God does not owe you an answer to your prayer. God has given you life. God has given you all the blessings in your life. God put you in a wonderful family. You're here in a good church this morning, hearing God's word preached. God does not owe you a thing. Okay? He doesn't owe me a thing. He doesn't owe any person on earth a single blessing. He doesn't owe man anything. And so we need to realize that when we come before God in our requests. And not be with the attitude that, well, God, you will surely answer this prayer the way I want you to. No, we need to come before God humbly, like these lepers who would not come right up to Jesus because they knew they were not worthy to approach the Lord Jesus. That's how we ought to act in our prayers. Realize we are not worthy of God's blessings and come before Him in prayer humbly, very humbly. So that's the second point. I have more written down here, but I'm going to just jump over it for sake of time. We are not worthy of God's blessings. Number two, notice their cry. Notice their cry, verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. With one consent, these 10 lepers, as they, you know, I don't know if one of them cried it out first or if they all had a huddle together and said, what cry would reach Jesus' heart best? I don't know if they did that. But for whatever reason, they all decided, maybe one of them cried out this sentence first, and so they all picked up on it. That's probably what happened. But anyway, with one consent, these 10 lepers decided to cry out that Jesus Christ was their master. And the implication, therefore, is that they were His servants. That's the implication. Christ, you are the master. Lord, I'm your servant, therefore, if you are the master. And truly, young people, if you desire the Lord to hear your prayer, that's the attitude. That's the attitude God wants to see in you and I as we come before Him in prayer. Lord, I'm your servant. You're the master. Here are my needs, but you know best. You know best, and I'll accept what you have for me. You see, it's a humble cry, a humble cry. These lepers humbled themselves before the Lord. Lord, you're the master, we're the servants, but would you please have mercy on us? James 4:6 says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And our memory verse from about 2 months ago, I think, 2 Chronicles 7:14, maybe a little bit longer than that, 3 months ago. If 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, first thing, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But the first thing on that list is humble yourself. Humble yourself. You don't deserve to be able to come before God, the throne of grace. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. God does not owe me or you a thing. But He is our master and we the servant. And praise God, He loves us. Amen. Jesus is our master. And notice also their cry. It was not specifically for healing. They did not cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us and please heal us. They didn't need to say that. They just said in general, have mercy on us. What a wonderful master the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we ought to be exceedingly thankful to Jesus for the simple reason that these 10 lepers point out to us today. That simply placing yourself upon the mercy of our Master, the Lord Jesus, that's enough for our greatest troubles. That was enough for these lepers. These lepers knew that if the Lord Jesus would simply have mercy on me, He's going to heal the greatest need in my life. Leprosy. What's going to kill me eventually. Just placing myself on the mercy of God is enough for our greatest need, our greatest troubles. And the compassion. All the lepers needed to do was to get a hold and to pique the interest, if you will, of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just needed the compassion of the Lord to be turned toward them. And that's what all you and I need. The compassion of Jesus Christ turned toward me is all I need for the deepest needs in my life to be met. Lamentations 3:23. Go to Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. Jesus Master, don't heal. Have mercy. Have mercy. And when you have mercy, you are wise enough to figure out what I need. Lamentations 3, 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And by the way, that's the only place in the Bible that phrase is found. Great is thy faithfulness. We need to be thankful because our requests are never ending. We need to be thankful because we are not worthy of God's blessings. We need to be thankful because Jesus is our Master, we the servant, but yet He still loves us so much, He answers our cries according to His mercy. According to His mercy. Number four. Go back to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And look at verse 14. Should have kept my place there. Luke 17, 14. And when He saw them, when Jesus saw the lepers, when He saw them, He said unto them, you are healed. No, He didn't say that, did He? Notice that they had just asked the Lord to have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then Jesus says, all right, go do something. Go do something. We can be thankful to Christ for the tests He puts in our lives to grow our faith. We can be thankful for the tests that Jesus puts in our lives to grow our faith. The answer of Christ was not, you are healed, but that, here's a test. I'm going to test what you just said. You just claimed I'm your master, and you want to be healed, all right? Go do something. Here's a command. Go and obey. Let's see if you're going to obey me. You see, He was testing whether or not they really meant their statement to Him. Master. Am I? Am I really your master? Okay. Go do this. Go do this. He was testing their declaration of, Lord, you're our master. You have mastery over us. They wanted Him to heal them, and here He neither said He would, nor did He say He wouldn't. He just gives them a command. Go do this. Go do this for me. Would they stand there? Would you stand there and argue with Jesus? Lord, that's kind of dumb, isn't it? I know I have leprosy. I wanted to be healed. If I go show my leprosy to the priest, he's going to say, guess what, buddy? You've got leprosy. I already know that, Lord. Can I please have some healing for this leprosy? See, that's the argument they could have given the Lord. Were they ready to just obey? Or would they stand there and argue with Christ, well, Lord, you're not really, I'm not really going to obey your commands. You're not really my master because I have an argument to give you about this. This isn't quite smart, Lord, you see. That's a fool's errand to go show my leprosy that I know I already have to the priest so that he can say I have leprosy. That's not awfully smart. That's a fool's errand, Lord. Why should I do that? I don't need to be inspected by a priest. They've already told me I have leprosy, probably. Would you please tell me whether you are or whether you're not going to heal me? Quit wasting my time this morning. If I can't be healed, I'll go, you know, start begging again. But stop wasting my time with a fool's errand. Is that what the kind of attitude we have with the Lord? Lord, I wanted you to answer this prayer. I didn't need this added on top of it. Why did I have to do this too? Why did I have to go through this trouble too? I already had a problem. Why this now? Is he our master or not? Well, Christ was doing several things here. I've already mentioned the big one he was doing for the lepers. He was testing their faith. He was seeing if they were really meaning that he was their master. But he was also upholding the ceremonial law, which was still in force. He was also making sure that the priesthood was honored and the priesthood laws were upheld and that the priests would do the function that only priests were allowed to do. Under the ceremonial law, Jesus of Nazareth was not allowed to declare anybody clean. He could heal them, of course, but they still were unclean in the eyes of the citizenry until they saw the priest, and the priest declared them clean, and there was offerings made, you see. So he is upholding the function of the priest, which only they could perform. And where was he? What did the story start out telling us? As he went through Samaria and Galilee, I believe it said. Samaria and Galilee. So most likely he's in Samaria. And probably several of these lepers, and we know for sure one of them was, but probably several others, since he's in Samaria, this is probably a good mixture of Jews and Samaritans here. And so he is pointing those Samaritans back to the true worship of Jehovah in Jerusalem. He said, go show yourself to the priests. Where are the priests? Well, maybe some of the Samaritans took off to Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritan temple was. If any of them went there, they weren't ever declared free of leprosy properly until they actually went to the real temple, God's temple in Jerusalem. You see, he was pointing the Samaritans back to the true worship of Jehovah in Jerusalem. But he was also doing one more thing. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. This tells us what he was doing in Mark chapter 1 in a different story. But the point is the same for both stories. Mark chapter 1 and verse 44. Keep your place there in Luke chapter 17. And he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man after he has cured this man. I think it's another leper healed. See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. He was also sending the priests in the temple a testimony of the miracle working power belonging to Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, the priest in the temple knew only God can heal leprosy. Only God can heal leprosy. And here before us are 10 cases of leprosy healed suddenly, just like that, according to their testimony. Who did that? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth must be something very special. You see, a testimony to the priest. Maybe this is why later on in Acts, many of the priests got saved. Maybe. I don't know. But God was sending a testimony to those priests that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that day. He had power to heal those lepers. But primarily, though, this was a test of obedience for those 10 lepers. Was their faith genuine? Was their statement genuine? Master, you are my master. Was that true? And as we see, they all had enough faith to be healed. Go back to verse 14. Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they all went, you see. They all obeyed. They had faith to be healed. They were cleansed, the Bible says. As they went, they were cleansed. They all had faith to be healed. But one of those lepers, his faith was increased that day to saving faith. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I believe that he was not just referring to his physical body. I believe this man put his faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. He's the only one. He's the only one that day that got 2 healings. His leprosy was healed, but also his spirit was healed that day. His spirit was healed. His sins were washed away. So we can be thankful to Christ for the tests he puts in our lives. Number 5 out of 8 here this morning. Notice that if you have fervently prayed something of the Lord, which these lepers did, you should be as fervent to praise the Lord for the answer. If you have fervently prayed something of the Lord, you should be as fervent to praise the Lord for the answer to that prayer. Verse 15 again. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice. Well, what had they done before? Verse 13. They lifted up their voices. They had with a loud voice requested healing. Jesus, mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They had cried out. They had been fervent in their requests. And so when this man was healed, he responded properly to that healing because he had been fervent in his prayer requests. He was fervent in his praise. And he cried out with a loud voice in response to his healing and glorified God. Oh, what a great example to us. Only one of the 10, though. Only one of the 10, thank God, as much as he had beseeched the Lord. Only one. Sadly, this is probably the average today in Christians as well. 1 out of 10 Christians will praise the Lord as fervently as they beseech the Lord. But the Samaritan gives us a great example. He was as fervent in his thanks as he had been in his request. We really ought to be this way with every single one of our answered prayers. This is how the Lord would have us respond. In fervent praise, if you have fervently requested. Praise Him as much as you asked Him. Number 7. Reasons to be thankful this morning. We can be thankful that when we slip up and forget to thank Him properly, He doesn't retract the answer to the prayer, does he? Notice those other 9. That as they went, they, the 10, were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And because they're not here, they're not healed. He could have said that. He could have said that. And they would have been deserving of that judgment too. They would have been deserving of that. But the Lord Jesus loves us so much that He forgives even without us asking when we don't remember to thank Him properly. He does not retract His answer. He loves us that much. Where are the 9? But they're still healed. They still went to the priest and the priest still declared them cleansed. Oh, praise the Lord. His mercy, when His mercy is extended, it is extended genuinely and without retraction. Praise God for that. We can be thankful that God does not retract His answers to prayer, even though or even when we forget to thank Him properly. Number 7. There is a blessing to be gained, a reason to be thankful this morning. There is a blessing to be gained from Christ for the one who shows proper thankfulness. There's a blessing to be gained. For this Samaritan, his faith to be healed by a miracle worker was increased, as I've already mentioned, it was increased to saving faith in the miracle working God. He was 1 out of 10 that received physical healing and spiritual healing that day. He was the only one of those 10 to be given a spiritual healing and eternal life from the Lord Jesus that day. There was a special blessing to be gained from proper thankfulness. And that's the way it is with every prayer request. There is a special blessing to be gained when you respond properly in proper thankfulness to God for His answer. For the Christian, it's a special sweetness between you and Jesus when you respond properly. A special bonding, if you will, that would not have happened had you not responded with thankfulness to Him properly. It's a type of double blessing, if I could explain it this way. It's a type of double blessing. God blessed me, and I'm so thankful for it. And because of my thankfulness, it's just all that much sweeter. God makes it all that much sweeter. The relationship between me and the Savior becomes all that much better. It's a double blessing. And there's a double blessing to be had for you. Karen, sit up. Hurry up. There's a double blessing to be had for you and for me if we are thankful to the Lord for the answers to prayer He gives us. God is pleased when He is rightfully glorified, rightfully praised. He's pleased with that. And He will sweeten your relationship with Him. There's a blessing to be gained from those who show proper thankfulness. Last one this morning. Look at verse 17 again. Were there not 10 cleansed? We should be thankful to God simply for the great cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We should be thankful to God, even if God never answered a single prayer of mine, which He does, and He has, and He will. He certainly will for you. But if He didn't, we should still be thankful to God simply for the cleansing power of Jesus Christ's blood that He has already applied to you and to me. Here we had an entire hospital full of patients healed at one time. Were there not 10 cleansed? 10 lepers, boom, cleansed, healed, just like that. A whole hospital ward emptied. Don't have to worry about those guys coming back to the doctor anymore. This had been a wholesale cure. What does it represent? Leprosy being cured wholesale. It represents the saving power of Jesus Christ to wash away sin. To wash away the sins of man. Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse the entire human race of their sins. If only they would. If only they would. That's the abundant power available in the blood of Christ. He has plenty of healing virtue. Enough for every man, woman, boy, and girl, whoever lived, to have their sins washed away. And if you're saved this morning, you have partaken of that abundance. You are a partaker of that abundance. And that alone should cause us to be grateful to God. And you know, if you are properly grateful to God, it will spill over in gratefulness to others. You will be known as a thankful person to others for little blessings that they give. Yeah, they didn't save you from sin. They didn't give you a home in heaven. But maybe they helped you change a tire. Maybe they helped you walk across the street or some little tiny, almost insignificant thing. But thank you. Thank you for that. Why do we show thankfulness to others? Because we are truly thankful to God. And it just spills over. And we're thankful. We are just thankful for the things that people give us, both God and men. So if you're not thankful, a thankful person, and you don't say, well, thank you, when somebody does something nice for you, you need to consider, am I really, actually, truly thankful to God? Because I sure don't show any thankfulness to other people very much. You need to consider that, young people. Am I really thankful to God for the cleansing power that He washed my sins away and He gave me a home in heaven? Am I truly grateful for that? Because when mommy makes me a dinner, I don't say thank you to her. Are you a thankful person? Or do you just take everything for granted? Well, I deserve that. I deserve that. They owed that to me. No, they don't. No, God doesn't. God doesn't owe you those blessings. Thankfulness. We ought to show God proper thankfulness. And if we do that, we'll become a thankful person to those around us. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word this morning. Help each one of us, Lord, to be grateful and thankful. Oh, the terrible consequences of not being thankful. Romans talks about that. They were not thankful, and their foolish heart was darkened. A double reason, but thankfulness was part of the reason there. Not the whole reason, but part of the reason. And so, Lord, help us to be thankful to you. And Father, I pray that our thankfulness would be genuine and wholehearted enough that it will spill over to being thankful to other people for the small things of life. Father, help this each one of us to be a thankful person, grateful person for the blessings you bestow upon us. Bless this message, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take about a 10-minute break.